Well, hello and welcome to the 9th episode. Is it 9th? It is 9th. The 9th episode of the Manx Footy Pod for the 2023-24 season. I'm your host there, Sam Turton, standing in for Andy Dalrymple, who is off hanging out with some monkeys, but we'll have more on that later. Joining this week is a man who successfully got off a bus without falling asleep, Tom Curfey.
I certainly did.
We also have the Danny Murphy to my Mark Chapman. A big hello, Dave Norton.
Hi, everyone.
And we are joined by the one and only, insert guest name here, oh, joking, it is, of course, Paul Hatton.
Okay, welcome, everybody.
How you doing, hey?
Yeah, good to be back on the Manx Footy podcast again.
So. Yeah, it used to be Towers, and Andy used to be here. It's in a basement, and it's hosted by me. It's a lot less glamorous.
We've gone downhill, haven't we?
Yeah, and we remember we even did the one Manx Footy podcast in Douglas Promenade, didn't we?
We did, yes. Yeah, I think we got heckled by some of the Russian lads halfway through.
Yeah, and some seagulls, too, as well.
How many times have you been on the podcast, eh?
I think every year you've done at least one.
So is he the most frequent
must
guest?
Be. Yeah, I reckon so. You must be, I think. Is this your fifth time now?
I'd say so, yeah. Yeah.
Season ticket holder.
You can't get enough of that.
So. Yeah, I think we even did another year. We did it in the Costa Coffee place in the...
In Sea Terminal?
Sea Terminal.
Other coffee shops are available, even though I am...
We don't want to be deemed to any partial one brand, so there are other coffee outlets there where you can purchase your coffee. So
before we go off topic, I do want to ask, what's your go-to coffee? What's your go-to? So you go to Costa Hattie, what are you drinking? I see you as a cappuccino man.
I'm Americano.
Oh, so you got them all wrong.
Yeah.
He likes a pint of the black stuff, you see, so it has to be similar colour.
Yeah.
Well, I'm intrigued now. What do you have for coffee?
Oh, I like a mocha, but people laugh at that. So it's not really like... I like a bit of chocolate in there. I'm still good.
Do you get like a spiced pumpkin latte?
No, none of that stuff. And Costa's a bit too expensive for me. Coffee Corner's not bad. It's still a bit pricey, but I like it there.
I'm not going to lie. I'm very much... I like the calf. I like
proper
the buttery,
spoon
proper, like a proper cup of tea. So I don't drink coffee is the other thing.
Yeah.
Well, I drink tea. So I'm not into like expensive cups of tea and all that. I'm quite happy with like, you know, the sort of place where I imagine the tea bag has just been sort of like dumped in with a bit of hot water poured on it. I'm happy with that.
Well, we
not
have
the calf and the butter, we do that. They treat their customers with
breakfast. Speaking of teas, you weren't overly impressed last weekend, were you, Sam?
Right, so I can't be too critical of this because technically I do owe Air United a pound.
I mean, free tea must taste better, sure.
Well, yeah, because I got up there, Hattie, right, and I had cash. I didn't have cash on me, sorry. I spent my cash in the shop round the corner,
right,
like an idiot, and I thought, it's 2023, everyone will have card. They do have card at Air, but only on the bar, not on the serving hatch.
Yeah.
Now, obviously, it was a very busy game. There's like well over 200 people there, lots of cups of tea flying out all over the place, and I went, I'm going to get a cup of tea. And it was only as I got to the front of the queue, I thought, I haven't got any money on me, I've only got my card.
Huh.
I've got my phone, so I was like, you know, I'm going, do you take card? Oh, no, we don't, sorry, but the bar does, don't worry about it, it's just a cup of tea, just, you know, gives it later or something. All right, grand. And it was just, like, really pale, and I was just a bit sad about it. And I used it, the benefit was, right, it was a bit chippy, you know, it was a bit cold, and so I was using it to keep my hands warm. And I feel bad saying I didn't enjoy the tea, because it was free, although I will be paying it next time up there.
Yeah.
I just was a bit sort of, like, sad about the cold of it.
So, this season, you've had a bad cup of tea, and as Hattie mentioned just before we came on air, it's been a bad pasty this season as well, hasn't there?
Yeah,
the burnt pasty debacle.
Yeah. St. John's had a black one, didn't they?
Yeah,
that was the worst I've seen, God.
Yeah.
It's been a challenging week, but what were you having? Good week besides?
Yeah, it's a good week. I was down at St. John's versus Una Mills, two teams I haven't reported on this year. I thought probably two teams... Last year, that were flying high in the Premier League. I think one time, St. John's occupied pole position. And
Mills, you know, also Railway Cup team last year.
Yeah, I think they qualified for the Railway Cup semis for the first time in the club's history, which is just over 100 years of age. But I think both teams endured what they call halfway season syndrome after that.
Mm.
And they had their mixed bag of results. And we're getting a mixed bag of results this season too as well, probably more so... St John's, I thought Una Mills really had to win last weekend to remain on the coattails of Railway Cup qualification. But I think it's so much more hard now because I just see it within those six teams above them now.
And how big a result do you think that is for St John's? Because obviously they've had a tricky start to the season. Is that going to give them a confidence boost now, or like what do you think?
I think it'll give them a bit of a confidence boost. As just saying on the table here, they're just four places above the relegation zone. But you know, I'd expect like Sam Brown, manager, and the lads will be looking to kick on from there. I think they do miss Dean Lees up front, who's with FC Isle of Man. Mm-hmm. But I thought there was a bit of a lack of quality in attacking third from both teams last weekend. And I thought just need a bit of like quality from Sean Brock to just to turn a defending
Keane
place.
Brock, is it?
Keane yeah. Brock, exactly.
Stole your headlines.
Where he just beat the defenders, Mark, and just took it into the back of the net in the closing stages.
So you mentioned that you went to that game, St John's Mills. How does Paul Hatton choose his game? I noticed it's been early at the start this week. Monday, you've decided now where you're going to go. How does Paul Hatton choose which game he's going to go to? Does the fact that you've not covered them two clubs like factor in? And is that the main reason why you went
that
game?
Yeah, because I believe that it should be shared around because I'm reporting on Laxey versus A United this week, and I have seen Laxey once this year and lost 5-2 to Ramsey just a few weeks or so ago, but I haven't seen A United this year, and I think we should all have like a good chance to see what all the different teams have got to offer within the Premier League, and also on times in the Division 2.
And Sam, you obviously watched last weekend, and a couple of times you've seen them now. Obviously, they're the team to beat at the moment. Do you think they'll carry this form on?
The thing is, they played what? They didn't have Johnny Shields playing last week. Yeah. They had, Harry Best didn't play either. There's a couple of lads not in the team. I just think that, despite that, they turned up. Ramsey, I think they struggled to admit they're at their best. You know, they had a few issues getting the game going themselves, but I just think that as a performance, you got a win without having to play brilliantly. Sean Kelly was really good last week. He really was on it.
Yeah.
So I just think that, you know, that is a sign of, you know, you hate to sort of tip at the side of champions, but it's they just keep winning.
Yeah.
And, you know, as long as they keep doing it, was a 4-point lead they got now at the top?
I think so, isn't it? I think you've got the table there. I think it's four.
Yes, 4 points, yeah.
So, positive week. But yeah.
With a game in hand too, as well.
Well,
so,
even better.
Yeah.
Well, they said that they were the first week of the season, wasn't it? They had their week off, so they've sort of got that game ahead of the others. So it'll be interesting times. Tell everyone about the biscuits. Tom.
Okay, let's all have one and let's give a review. I feel like.
Okay.
Yeah, because I've never seen these before. They are Cadbury Choco Sandwich. Okay. I've never ever had the luxury of having them.
You can thank Poundland for these, or Deals, should I say. Yeah. Other good shops are available. So.
Deals, what place?
Magic.
Still £1.20 in there, bro.
Yeah, both these packets are £2.40.
It's not bad going, is it?
Hattie's eyeing these up. Well,
okay.
Look at that.
Okay.
I've never seen a man look so keen.
Okay.
He's giving it the once over. Cheers, buddy.
Okay, bye. Yeah. Okay. You have to like the connoisseur, like them.
Yeah.
And get a chocolate off the.
They do look good.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah,
I'm getting involved in that.
Plus, I was going to say,
but these are a bit fancy, aren't they?
Yeah.
I mean, if you watch this on YouTube, you'll be able to see. But look, they've got like an inside to this packet.
Mm.
I don't know how that goes with the whole environment reducing plastic stuff these days, but that's a bit. They're a bit posh.
Crumbs everywhere.
They are good though.
Mm. They are fine, I think.
We should start rating the biscuits. Every week, last week, the right digestives, and nothing's beaten that for me.
Yeah. Well, this is it. Our first season, we had a takeaway rater, didn't we? Like every guest would say their favourite takeaway.
Mm.
So I think, we've got to have a bit of a poll of the best biscuits, I think.
Mm-hmm.
So, Hattie, favourite pub?
Oh, what a question. Go on, Hattie. Favourite pub in the old man?
I quite like the Baltic and Foxtel.
Oh, wow, that'll please a lot of the Foxtel boys, isn't it?
Yeah. It's a shame it's a bit off the beaten track living in Port Erin, you see, but
difficult to get buses to and from.
Yeah,
it, isn't
exactly.
It?
Yeah. So,
but you can't judge a pub by the location. You've got to judge it by what's inside, don't you? And the Baltic's lovely, isn't it?
It is, And they always have good Guinness there too.
It's one of them pubs I always feel with Foxtel. When you walk into it and you're not from the area, everyone looks at you and goes, "Who the hell are you?"
It's a bit like the Western movies you see, in the Wild West movies, and you've got like someone playing a piano or someone playing a jukebox.
It's a proper saloon doors that open.
And somebody walks in through the door, and and everyone just turns and stares and the place falls silent.
It's funny, it's funny, this season of the podcast, we accidentally called the Division 2 JCK.
JCK.
So you've just said the Baltic. James Cummins will be absolutely, he'll be absolutely loving this podcast. Right?
If he's making royalties for every mention, it'd be absolutely amazing.
Exactly, it's brilliant.
But this podcast was brought to you by your friends at Visit Foxdale.
I do think one of our external pods should be in the Baltic. I think if we can get there and do it properly, that'd be good.
Over by Guinness.
I'm just trying to think who'd come on from Foxdale.
Like Betty Barton. Betty would.
Stephen Bettridge. I don't know about Barton, but man, that'd be an irritating podcast to put on.
Twana probably would, wouldn't he?
Barton suggested Ricky Newsham as well. He's not a bad player.
Yeah, that's a shout. Yeah, Timmy Cupping on as well. Oh. Well, he could just be heckled.
You haven't been a bleep. Well, and say that too as well. I went down to the... it was quite nice... pub is I went down to the sidings in Castletown.
So
rather than drink my normal Guinness, I had a nice selection of real ales there. So I do, besides Guinness, I do like to have a nice real ale.
How do you rate the Albert in Port St Mary?
It's that's a good pub too as well.
My favourite without a doubt. What a pub that is.
It's a bit of a Manx nationalist pub too. Oh,
I absolutely love that place. Do you know the stat behind the Snaefell? The only pub on the Isle of Man you can see the summit of Snaefell from its door.
That is a hell of a stat.
Yeah, I absolutely love that.
Yeah, I can imagine, yeah.
And they'd serve Cobra in there, and that to me is the nicest lager you can drink anywhere in the world.
Right.
Oh, we have a clash here over Hattie's choice of drinks.
It's the Amir's still. And that's Kay and Mira, and then Mark and Mira too as well.
Good pub,
it is.
Dave, had a good week?
Yes, been alright, mate. I obviously wasn't covering a game last weekend, unfortunately, but I should be back out there this week. Leagues are shaping up nicely. I remember we talked about last weekend. We have to mention Moran because Tom, you were down at the Russian game, weren't you?
Do we have to?
It sounds like it was a bit of a. Almost a flattering scoreline.
Yeah, the 4-0 was never 4-0.
It was, Tom.
Well, the paper could be wrong, but it was a frustrating game. I thought Moran, we were in it, and it's not the Russian that we've played in the previous years, where we've been beaten 4-0, 5-0, and we've been comfortably played off the park. Yeah. This Russian team isn't anywhere near as strong as it once was, and we were in the game for long periods of it, and it obviously went 1-0 to Russian. But right before half-time as well, which is always a killer, because that changes Dave Bruce's team talk completely, doesn't it? Yeah. But then second half, we come back out, we were strong, and obviously we win that penalty. And we were all, at that point, we were on top. And if that penalty doesn't get saved, Dean Cairns, good keeper, to be fair. Yeah. And I think, looking back, I was quite harsh at the time, thinking Matty's got to kick that harder, but it actually is quite a good save. Frustrating that didn't go in, and then I almost knew when the penalty didn't go in, when your luck's against you.
Your head's dropped there, don't
they? And then everyone just thinks, oh no. And then I think the last two or three goals were right towards the end, and it was just, at that point, it was just, we knew we weren't getting anything, and it kind of opens that, which is frustrating because goal difference could end up coming down to it, so maybe you need to keep it tight even when you're losing, but...
Yeah, and also too, as well, that was like Russian's first win of the season, and they think they're bottom last weekend.
Yeah.
I think they now move three places above the relegation zone. Yeah. So it is still, I'd say, still very nip and tuck down there.
Well, unfortunately, I think the players gave up when Tom took to Facebook the day before and said he was going to leave.
They thought
that Cam and Adam had made the right choice to leave.
Well, that was not me on my Facebook. I can confirm that. I occasionally leave my laptop on at work, and when you leave the office and you leave your laptop on, people frape you is the term, isn't it? I hope we get that clear. I hope we said that clearly. And Sam Turner and Andy like to team up and go on my Facebook. It could even be you involved, I'm not
actually. I was absolutely not me. I just took a screenshot of it and then reposted it later.
It definitely was Dave involved. So yeah, frustrating, but what can you do? People who know me know that I'm not leaving Moran.
Well, I think we... let's just move on.
Okay.
We've had enough
of
Moran this week, haven't we?
Okay.
So obviously, we've got Hattie here, and it'd be remiss of us not to go through the question board, really, Dave. So what have we got?
Yeah, well, you've gotten off fairly lightly this week, mate. You've obviously been on several times before, most of the questions have already been asked.
Okay.
First on from Joe Middleton of Corinthians fame. Okay. Might be a loaded question, might not be, but he wants to know what's the best goal you've caught on video in Manx football. And let's face it, you've caught thousands of goals on camera.
I've caught quite a few. I tell you, one thing I did make the rounds because I think you was going back quite a few years back. I think when Jack. Somebody scored Conor Doyle scored in the Charity Shield for St George's against Russian, and it curled into the top corner.
Oh, yes, I think I remember that.
Yeah, and I think you post that on a website across in the UK, and that got quite a few hits in the back of that. But I think there's so many goals to choose from, it'd be hard to pick a single one.
Any of Joe's that stand out that you want to give an honourable mention to?
Just trying to think.
Well, let's face it, he just scores good goals. That's all we can say.
I think he, as a match last year, he was, I can't remember. I think he had a penalty set. He's a goalkeeper, and he saved a penalty in the closing stages.
Oh, really? That's impressive.
Yes, yes. Yeah. So I do remember that. I think the St. John's, it was slap bang into injury time. It was 2-2. St. John's rewarded a penalty, and I think Quinton's goalkeeper got sent off. Joe Middleton took on the responsibility of the gloves, and when St. John's took the penalty, Joe saved it.
Fair play. That's good. I'll turn the question around on you guys then. Obviously, you might not have filmed it, but what's the best goals that you guys have seen in Manx football?
Good question. It'll have to be my goal against Ryko.
It's my
first ever goal from Combi, and people will say it's a cross. It wasn't a cross. It was when I was, must have been 17, and 16.
Oh, are we talking Mudrick for Chelsea last week?
Yeah, literally very similar to that. Yeah. But then Mudrick was a mistake, mine was obviously planned.
Skill.
And that put us 4-3 up against Rykob Combi, and we ended up losing 7-4. So,
do you know what? I can relate to this. Back when I was playing for Laxey under, what was it, 16 to 14s or Combi? I can't remember what it was, way back when. We were playing, I think it was Police in a friendly, and they were short of players, so being one of the Laxey rejects, I got shunned over onto the Police side, and I was bombing it down the right wing, and I crossed it in, went over the goalkeeper. I was like, first ever goal for Laxey, and it was against them.
Scoring against you, I like it.
Devastating.
I mean, if we're going to pick our own goals, I had the one for Govs against St John's in Combi 2 a couple of seasons ago. Last minute equaliser, about 40 yards out, lobbed the keeper. Not going to lie, it was because I looked at the centre-back and thought, I'm not doing you for pace. But the best goal I've seen would... it'd have to be Pekka last year for St George's up at Douglas Royal.
Yeah.
And he was sort of, it was, you know the famous champion, the European Cup final one?
Oh, yeah.
Why can I not remember his name?
Are you for Liverpool, you mean?
No, well back, over his shoulder. It was literally, Pekka's going that way, the goal's there. Goes over his shoulder.
Oh, it's a down, at Hamden Park.
Volleyed back across himself into the far corner. And it was one of them that hit the stanchion on the way in, sort of thing. It was absolutely stunning. Yeah.
Now, you've just mentioned the word stanchion. It brings me to our next question. Now, we can't have Hattie on the pod without mentioning the goal that never was. Hattie went viral years ago. I'm sure you guys know this.
I remember this.
Yes, Tim Collins.
Yeah.
Yeah, Tim Collins. A combination Division 2 match. And I want to try and get some video footage for governors who... because Alex Mazzotta wasn't involved there. So I thought, I'll there's nothing on the game at all. But I thought I'll try and get some video footage to help with their prize presentation. And it's a midweek game. And it was, Governors had taken the lead. And then, it was 0-0. And Tim Collister, who's their striker, he unleashed an absolute superb strike. And it hit the underside of the crossbar. And bounced out, but the ball did cross the line.
I think it hit the stanchion, didn't it?
The stanchion, yeah. And then before you know it, Tim Collis was getting the celebrations. People cheering, was like, "Great goal, Tim!" And even the hug. And next minute, the referee Johnny Hogg just said, "Waved, play on, play on, play on."
And did Governors go on to score?
Yeah. And then what happened is they counterattacked, and then Milu ended up conceding a free kick. And from the resulting free kick, Governors equalised.
It's only in Div 2.
It's a brilliant. It's
Combination Division 2.
Combination Division 2.
Yeah, it's Combination Division 2.
Combi 2 is the world.
Yeah.
That had several million hits, didn't it? Was it Lad Bible or Sport Bible? One of those kind of picked it up, didn't
they? Yeah, they did, yes. And they then sold it to the other the main newspapers, like the Daily Mirror. And
he's still living off the royalties.
Just interesting, mentioned about probably two goals, two good goals, which are also saw. One was in a, I think, Hospital Cup final in Balvin involving Callum Morrissey.
I was about to mention this
when the goalkeeper just...
For the Grand Slam, I think this was.
This was, yeah. When he just launched it forward and the centre of the park just brought it down and he just turned into sixpence and volleyed and it just went, dropped into the back of the net.
It was absolutely brilliant. From memory, they were Trail and Peel. I think it was like 3-2 or 2-1 at the time.
Yeah.
And he scored this absolute worldie to equalise, I think. And then they went and scored another in injury time, I think. Or maybe it was the winner, I'm not sure. Yeah. But it was absolutely brilliant.
It was brilliant. There's that goal. And then I just thought from a women's football perspective, it has to be probably Sarah Wignall's goal against Jersey when she made it, I think, 3-1, where she just was found space on the left-hand side. And she's just there with the ball, and she released this superb shot into the top right-hand corner, because I think she went to score every single round off the into Ireland.
This was in Anglesey, you know,
Ireland,
wasn't it?
2019.
Yeah.
And she ended up winning the player of the tournament too as well. That was people just on the sideline going, "Whoa, what a goal!"
I'm just saying, if it's possible to mention Greg Goldsmith's football without mentioning that Luke Murray goal.
Oh, what?
Yes, obviously, went on match of the day, didn't it?
Shared all around. It was
I did get like one overhead kick, and that was Scott Cameen down at the Nivison Stadium. And I think of those around that time, the Budweiser was off in that competition about goal off the month. Do you remember that?
Non-league football,
and that got submitted to as well. So I thought. It didn't win.
There's been some worldies over the past, over the years.
Yes.
What's other than yours, Tom? What's the best Moran goal you've ever seen?
That's a good question. Oh, do you remember the season when Moran went up and we had to score a few goals past Governors to go up? And
yes, I was, 20, I was there.
What year would that be? 2016.
Yeah, that's right. I was there.
Yeah, I remember the Governors game. But before that game, we played Castletown. We were 3-2 down, and we needed to at least get a point to give it any chance of going up in the next game. 3-2 down, and Stu Morris pulled out like an unbelievable overhead kick. There's a photo of it. I think Gary Wayman was there.
Yeah.
And there's a photo of it, and it's like it came from nowhere. We were like last few minutes, and he scores this absolute worldie. And I remember everyone went absolutely nuts. Me and Niall were there, must be about 16 years old, and we went absolutely ballistic. Like Moran fans travelled there on our little bikes, and we were like going absolutely
not
nuts.
The flatbed. No.
We had Morris and Arne on the back of our shirts and everything. We were proper Moran faithful then. But then we ended up going up, and that was like unbelievable. I remember cycling back on the Crosby back road, all the Moran players going past, beeping us as we're cycling along, straight to the Crosby for a non-alcoholic drink because we were underage.
Yeah,
yeah, we believe you, Tom.
Yeah. I remember because I was at that match too as well, and do remember Gary Waitman taking the photographs. It was him just like with his back to goal and the ball's about to leave his foot and about to hit the back of the net.
Absolutely silly goal, really.
And then because I think that match was played at Bella Fletcher because...
Yeah, we didn't have our pitch because of cricket, yeah.
And then the following match against... Governors, which is midweek, I was at that match too as well. You beat Governors 10-1.
Yeah.
And I took a team photograph, a team presented with the Division 2 trophy. There's also another photo I took, which was of George Kermode and also...
George Corkill.
George Corkill.
And Timo Hanlon, late Timo Hanlon, Lovely photo of that, by the way. Brilliant. We've still got that up. It needs to be up in the Crosby, I think, ideally.
That's a great photo because... I think Tim is probably still sorely.
Oh, Moran, and the clock we've done for him now, I know Nevin saw it. It's just a brilliant tribute to him because he always had a stopwatch around us.
That's right, yeah.
And we even joke saying the clock should be wrong because half the time Tim was wrong.
But the thing is, like when it came at the end of the match, I always saw Tim straight afterwards and just had to confirm the times the goals went in.
Mm.
So, but things I would never ever argue with a TT timekeeper.
Exactly. But Tim is, you don't have many chairmen at clubs that have been there for that long, put that much dedication. I remember all the old boys in the Crosby tell me Tuesday, Wednesday nights in the pouring rain, he'd be there taking training and stuff. So the dedication to the club, and not just the club, but the whole parish and around really did a load for it. So, gone but never forgotten.
You mentioned a 10-1 and an overhead kick. I just got a segue in. Colin Moore from Peel mentioned, so Paul Whitehead got two goals against Royal last week. It was 10-1, but he also had, he describes it, a Wayne Rooney-esque overhead kick disallowed for offside. And there must be a horrible feeling when you pull out a worldie like that and it's ruled out for something like that. But
yeah.
But yeah.
I wonder if I'm, who records the matches down at Peel.
It's Chris Horton or it's Colin's son, I think. Yeah, so hopefully yeah. there'll be some footage of that somewhere.
Yeah, we'd love to. Great to see that.
Dave, what else we got for Harry?
Right, okay. Well, this is from a person who's not with us today, I don't know why, Adam Morton. He's asking you, Harry, what is the best half-time scram on the island?
Okay, well, I quite like the one. Well, believe it or not, I was down at St. John's there. I know you had a little...
That was him, I know.
Yeah, the black pasty.
The black pasty, but they served me an okay pasty when the night of the Friday Night Project.
They clearly like you, Harry.
Yeah.
I like how you were asked what's your favourite, what's the best half of a scram? You went, an okay pasty.
Well, yeah, it was really nice, and a really nice Cornish pasty there.
We've just got to appreciate clubs that are doing food.
Yeah,
that's right. Around sometimes I'm like, come on. But you do sausage rolls occasionally.
But also down at Rush, you know, they always tend to put on a good offering, maybe.
Lovely sausage rolls down there.
Nice sausage rolls. I know they're my local club, but they do some nice half-time.
One thing I did notice being down there on Saturday, they don't open the bar till after the game. Is that to avoid lariness from the Moran fans? Is that to avoid us getting out of
here?
Russian,
didn't open it half time last time.
Didn't open it until full time when we were there last week. Maybe they knew what the Moran.
They've obviously heard the podcast and heard about all of us.
But we thankfully the Haven wasn't too far for us to go and stop and get an ale. So, but yeah, it'd be nice if that was a bit open a bit earlier.
Okay. And Guinness is still over £4 a pint. It's nowhere near the £5 mark.
So where does the best Guinness on the island then? A bit of a connoisseur, so you should know this.
Okay. Well, I did follow the Guinness guru until I met up with him at the Dublin. I caught up with him at the Dublin Festival in Dublin in February of this year. The Guinness guru.
Some people call you the Manx Guinness guru.
Yeah, the Manx Guinness guru. But I'd say probably the best Guinness I've had has got to be the Baltic. Yeah, because I think the previous landlord was at Joe Kneen. He was from Ireland, so. Then you had to look after the Guinness.
Another man hoping the Fox will go up this year.
Well, they're talking about Fox will going up. They are now second place. Second in the league.
Yeah, we'll have a look at the division two soon, won't we? We'll go through. So we've got a special video question.
We've got a video from Andy, which we're going to play now.
Say hello to Hattie, Dottie. Say hello.
Hello. Hi
Hattie, sorry couldn't be there today. As you can probably tell, I'm at Monkey World. We're at Monkey World, though. We don't really see lots of monkeys. But I still wanted to leave a question for you. Now, originally I thought I'd keep it along the lines of something along horse racing. What's your tip for this weekend? But then I thought, as I'm in one of Britain's premier primate centres, I'd probably ask the question, what's your favourite type of ape? We've seen some crackers today, haven't we, Dottie?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Even though it is October and most of them actually are inside. So that was worth £50.
I'm not well versed on the different types of apes, but imagine it's...
Why not?
I think there's... Is it some... the huge, big, black ones that, you know, the really huge ones that I'm talking about? Is it a great-backed one?
The gorilla?
Do they play
games in Cadbury's? Silverback gorilla thing.
Yeah, that's.
It's a gorilla.
Okay, well, okay. Well, if I don't know, I'm not well versed on.
I quite like, you know, like orangutan.
Let's see. I quite like a chimpanzee.
Like a chimpanzee.
Quote of the day, right there.
Okay.
That should be up on the board.
I'm going to take advantage of having this here. I'm going to type loudly now. Is a gorilla an ape?
Because
if it is, then Hattie, you can have that.
Okay.
Since gorillas
what's your favourite ape?
Since gorillas don't have tails, they are classified as apes. So Hattie, there you go. Gorilla is your favourite ape.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
Well, right. What interesting question from Andy. Yeah.
Oh, this has just gone off the rails.
What's
your favourite monkey?
I don't have one. I'm not a big fan of monkeys.
Milk
I like
gibbons.
Oh yeah. To be fair, silverback gibbon, which we're going to go see by the way, the wildlife park soon.
You milk gibbons?
I'm not sure if you do milk them. We need to go to the wildlife park and make sure.
Right, let's just move on before we get raided by the MSPCA.
Okay, right, any more questions?
We've got a serious one.
We have a serious one. This is in from the esteemed sports editor here, Mr. John Watson. Okay. Watty, as everyone knows him. What are your thoughts on a potential new league structure in Manx football? I think he means, like, we've talked about free leagues for years and things like that, but do you think there's a rejig to be had?
Yeah, I think this has been currently being looked at the Alfman FA, because they're looking to maybe potentially do four leagues, aren't they? So the combination Division 1 will be the third tier of Manx football.
Yeah.
So you can have like relegation. Relegation. So it's a difficult one because you could have a situation if two teams get from, could end up a first team and a second team could end up playing the same league.
But
they couldn't do it according to English FA rules.
Well, I hope not. I don't like the idea of it.
Yeah.
No.
Even if it means Moran winning some software.
No, even if it means that. I imagine the Combi is a feeder team. Everyone knows that. It's your second club. It's a reserve team. And I do that and I play for it. So it's like, you know, you're there to try and improve and get into the first team. I say play. Stand on the pitch.
What an insight into your Saturday team. Right, lads, we know we're not as good as the others.
No, but what I mean is, why would you on earth would you want to play the team that you're with? You're a team. Yeah. You want the first team to go on and win against the opposition. Yeah. You want the Combi to. I know in bowls and other sports, they play each other. Like, I know Moran A and play Moran B. Apparently quite a good game and stuff. But it's football. You're a club. It's United.
Well, that's the point, because it does work in hockey, because you know, backers A play backers B.
And I think, I suppose we've seen it in the EFL Trophy, haven't we, where they wanted the under-21 sides, or under-23s is it now, to go into the competition. So there's an argument for and against. I think there would certainly need to be some rules in place, because you wouldn't want to be able to share players.
What's stopping that? Like, for example, what's stopping a Combi team going for a title and the first team players going, right, we'll drop down, win the title for them, and the first team not really caring? Yeah, it's too much.
Yes,
it is. I do look at it and just think, you know, it is a bit sort of. Would you have to say that your highest ranked team is always your first team, but there's no way. Through that, I mean, I don't get how you could.
My argument is why change something if it's working? People might disagree, saying it's not working. Yeah. But we're the most. I think one of the most contributing. Like, people love to play football, and I know people complain and say it's not what it used to be. I think it's still one of the most involved sports on the island. I think it's definitely, if not without doubt. Yeah. So I don't think it's as much needed change as we might think, and I don't think there's that many as much many problems as we might think.
Yeah,
I think it's still fantastic.
One thing I really don't get about it is if they were to do it. And it is still a big if, because, you know, there are a lot of things being talked about. But how would it work in terms of, say, at the minute, you know if Moran are playing Peel in Peel, you know that the Combi's playing at Moran.
Yeah. Yeah.
But if they turned it into four leagues and say Moran is playing Peel, but Moran Combi is due to play, I don't know, Corinthians Combi.
Yeah.
Then Corinthians are at home playing Laxey, and Laxey Combi are at home playing.
How does the grounds work?
How does it work on that side? I just think, I kind of agree with Tom. I think that there are problems in men's football, but they don't think they're as big as we think they are.
No, I don't. I think we only change something if it's really broken, and I don't think it's as broken as people make. People make out that it's an absolutely dying thing and we need to panic. A few years ago, it was better. Obviously, it sounds unbelievable
I was thinking, I did have the thought of maybe do we just have one combination league in Manx football, because, you know, the numbers and combination level is dropping off. But then for some people, like the combination, some people, they know their level, and they're never going to aspire to be a great
I knew my level in combination.
And maybe it just gives them maybe that outlet, just something to aim for.
So are there any other changes that you would bring in? Like, you've been covering ranks football for a long time now. Is there anything you've seen that has changed which has been a good thing, or is there anything else you would want to change?
Well, people always like tend to knock football as a pastime, but no, football is just such a great sport, and I see so many people involved in the weekend. They're playing in football with their mates and having a great time and entertaining the local Manx football in public. So I wouldn't really change anything as such. I mean,
saying there needs to be a TV tower at every ground for the power.
Well, I mean, it's great, you know, that we've got Dean there now, just writing an article and the stuff that he's done over the past years. It's been nothing short of phenomenal. And like yourself, Jeff the Monger, you boys, like the coverage, I think this year has probably been one of the best it's been for quite some times. You know, going more that we still have newspapers, but also still have the social media too as well, in terms of, like, you know, video footage and updates and great games. It's great. You just go into a Twitter account, and you can see live updates from a match.
And I think individual clubs are getting better at that.
It's
brilliant. Yeah. I think now better than ever, I'd say. Yeah. Well, maybe not ever, but better than ever.
Yeah. I think, you know, everyone's got, well, you've got a video camera in the pockets these days on the phones, haven't they? So everyone's able to do it, which is good.
Yeah. But just adding
that was the most middle-aged comment I've ever heard you make.
Nearly 40 now, mate.
All the kids have got these video things.
I should say that.
But it just mentioned about the little new league structure, and with, you know, we've had the formation of FC Isle of Man, and I'm a big supporter of FC Isle of Man. I do as much as possibly can to support. I couldn't make it last weekend because I was invited to a surprise birthday party. Mm-hmm. But I think with that taking away, you know, the elite players from Manx football, it has lessen the quality a bit in terms of Manx football overall within the leagues. But now we're getting some really more competitive even matches. Like last year, there's at least, like towards the end of last year, there's still three or four teams in the relegation mix. Mm. You know, there's still nothing was decided. Come up, only up until the towards the end of football campaign.
Yeah, so before we finish with the questions, I've just got one myself. I'd like to ask, and it's basically, obviously people refer to you as the, like, almost the encyclopedia of Manx football. You've done a book, multiple books, I believe.
Yeah,
reports every week, video footage, everyone loves. I just want to know, I want to go back to the start of all this, Hattie. Where's this come from? Where's the Manx football man, as everyone knows you as? How has this started, this going to matches every week, being obsessed with the sport in the Isle of Man? How did it begin?
Well, it's probably between 93 and 98, I lived off Ireland. I was working, studying in Leeds, and from since being an Everton supporter, used to watch Everton home and away. Mm. It was football still quite affordable then before it's what it is now, and it's getting more of an expensive pastime because I had the use of a student rail card, so got cheap rail travel. And also football then in the Premier League was less staggered because most of the matches were still played on around 3 o'clock. And there'd just be one football match on a Sunday afternoon around 4 o'clock and one on a Monday night. And I always remember going to one football match. It was 1995, 1996, where we played Middlesbrough, the then what they called the Cellnet Stadium.
Old school.
Yeah, old school. And Everton won the match 2-0. And then I got the newspapers the day afterwards and gave the player to the, what the name this is, mother match to a Brazilian fullback. Name just escapes me at the moment. He only came on the pitch for around 15 minutes and only did us have a shot wide of target. And I gave him the man the match. I thought, well, what's all this about? And then we won 2-0, but he gave it to this Middlesbrough player. I think Jeff's Delling, in his book about each club's worst players in all the leagues, he was Middlesbrough's worst player. It was around the time, do you remember Janino,
Ravanelli? Janino was amazing.
Yeah, and Ravanelli and those players. So I thought to myself, gosh, I tell you what, if I could write a better match report than that. When I moved back to the island in 1998, I started writing from local. I got involved with Rush United Football Club as a committee member, and I had a programme called The Spaniards to start doing match reports for that. And also got to know James Davis, who was then working for the newspapers, and he used to do the Southern News and also do the football. And I used to do submit some roundups for him to help him, you know, with this. With the football coverage then, and it wasn't until 2003 that my work got credited for the first time with my name on the report, and from then on, it's been that way since. Albeit, I think the thing that's changed the most has got to be the use of technology, because there were times I used to probably write the report up on maybe. Sometimes there were cases used to write the report on a sheet of paper and stick it in the post. had the old dial-up connections on the internet too as well. I think I only started going to start taking digital photographs in 2005. So
don't know how you do it, mate. You make a note to your tweeting, and you're taking photographs and you're filming it. It's ridiculous.
Yeah. Well, like when I was down at Russian, because I used to watch Russian regularly when I was a committee member, and when I was secretary, like what I used to do. It used to be man in charge, so you used to get the players' subs, be in charge of the first aid, write notes, and also film the match too as well. In those days, it wasn't what we have now. It was like just a tape we should put in, so you had to press the record button. So it takes around 2 or 3 seconds to connect the reels, and then you start recording then. So you've got to be very, very frugal of when it comes to recording match. You couldn't record the entire match because you couldn't edit it. You just had to be... because you can be wary, there's only so much tape that you can use.
It's pretty awkward as well. We're halfway through, you've just got like your mum's episode of Hobby City on there. Sorry, lads, missed the game this week. Bit of a tragic. However, bit of good news, Deirdre's back with Ken.
What an episode that was. I've been watching old Corey since our chat last night.
We'll get to Deirdre Barlow's love life another time, maybe.
Yeah.
But I think should we move on?
Look
ahead to another quality weekend of Canada Life Premier League. Where should we start, Tom? Pick a number.
I pick number 6.
So that is Moran versus Peel.
What a surprise.
I thought we'd start with that.
Moran or Peel?
Moran or Peel, hey. Be careful what you say here. I've got to thank you for your services to Manx Football.
Okay. Well, I think Moran at the moment... I think going to be good. I'd say probably Western Derby. Is that how you describe it?
Yeah, I'd say our biggest rivals, the ones we hate the most. I'd say.
But I think probably Peel have lost 2 matches this season. I think Moran could make home form count, but sorry, Tom, I'm just going to edge you. Peel.
Okay, I'll let you off this time.
Fair
enough.
Dave.
Okay.
Yeah, I think it's probably going to be closer than people think, but I'm still going to have to go for a Peel win. Yeah. I'm afraid. Sorry, Tom. If the game goes ahead.
Now, let me just... I have a feeling I know what he's going to say.
Yeah.
Tom.
So I'm going to go with the Moran win.
There we go.
And okay. I think the reason is because I think we've had a tough time of it recently. Peel, there's no game like Peel to get you up for a big Western derby, as you say. Yeah. So maybe, I don't know, maybe this is the week we... get into first gear.
You're going to be the first team this week, Tom?
No,
hit the straps and...
maybe this will rally us up. And we've got Royals the week after, so maybe if you're looking ahead to that, you're thinking, oh, this could be a good chance for points, get us out, drag us out of the relegation zone. Mm. But there's no panic yet. There's still a long way to go, so...
How is the players' sort of the mood in the change room after that Russian loss last week?
Russian was more frustrating than the other games in the past.
Yeah, because they knew it was a closer game than the... Yeah.
Definitely, but it's... Again, it's not like morale's down or anything. Trading's been brilliant. Everyone's been great. Like, we'll go again, and I think that's probably like similar for every club. We're not that far behind Royals and stuff. There's no panic setting in yet.
It's going to stay close, I think, down the bottom of the table.
Fingers crossed.
I was just looking at this. Peel, of course, won 10-1 last week.
That is considering.
Lee Gale got 4, Paul White got 2, Taylor Andrews got 2, Erica Stain got a goal. I mean, that's...
Doesn't bode well.
No.
It doesn't. Yeah. It doesn't really.
I hate to break it to you, Tom, but I'm going to side with the lads, and I'm going to say Peel are probably going to pick this one up.
Do you think it's going to be a 10-1? 10-1? Do you reckon we'll put more of a fighting than that?
Okay, if we're going to go for a score, I'll say 9-2.
I'll take that, 2 goals.
And
I'll say 6-3.
An interesting mention about Lee Gale and Paul White up there. You know, team of the week. I think Lee Gale has made 3 team of the week appearances and Paul White had 2. So it's 2 players pretty much in form for Peel at the moment.
Gaylor is the player of the month for September, and according to Eric, he's an outside bet for this month as well. He's not leading the way, but he's in with a shout.
Well, I don't want to preempt Dave Reed's the weather, but we do have a bit of
an issue.
It could be a case of if you play this weekend, you have a surprising chance of being player of the
possibly.
Okay, so we're all pretty secure there, an appeal win, except for Tom, of course, who was once again backing Moran.
Moran would be top of the league if I had my predictions. Appeal and Laxey would be dead bottom.
Well, speaking of Laxey, we'll go there next. Laxey last week Had a bit of a difficult week against St Mary's.
Following our podcast.
Yeah, so that's why we couldn't get a guest this week. That's why you're here. We were meant to have Hurtie in. We were going to get Johnny Myers in. And they all
don't
what
say
happened.
That.
They all looked at what
He's
happened.
He's going to believe you if you say this.
They all looked at what happened to Palmer last week and went, I'm not going there. They're cursed.
Yeah. And I did predict a Cam Avery mistake and it happened, so let's go for that again.
Oh, there's Tom's. No way. Anyone keeping count, that's Tom's weekly mention of Cam Avery. So, Laxey versus Ayr. Obviously, Ayr have won every game so far this season. Laxey have been a bit indifferent, but they are back at home. And how do you reckon it will go, Hattie?
Well, just interesting, just reading the report here from Dean Turton. It's interesting what he noted, because he said that Laxey, there's a bit of a real lack of desire. He mentioned that lack of passion, desire in the final third throughout the match. It seemed to be, it's not happening for them up front at the moment. But, and with Ayr United, just reading your report here, about they seem to be firing on all cylinders. Was the second half Ayr United, was that a bit of a...
I think, to be charitable, the game itself
did it fizzle out?
Was challenging for both teams.
There's
a few things where the pitch, the grass was a bit longer than I think the lads would have liked it, but obviously with the rain it's difficult to get it cut. I just think it was a game where there wasn't a lot of natural sort of passing ability on display, shall we say. It was a very sort of touchy game, but both teams have got decent defences. You know, Jamie Hall at the back for Ramsey as well, who kept well at base. So I think it was a difficult game with not many chances either way, to be fair.
And probably maybe that edge of maybe their Northern Derby too as well, a lot riding on it. And I saw your photograph when you tweeted, probably had the biggest game
there. Oh, it was fantastic to see. I mean, you know, the only thing with Ayr is, of course, it takes up the road for about a mile on each side. But it was fantastic to see that number of people descend on the game. But,
I mean, probably not that much less than El Etifak and Riyadh this week, was it?
Well, that was 636 people watching.
696.
Gerrard and Henderson's team lose, and 2,900 watch Berry play with and shot.
What can you say about that?
But I think probably his interest, I think probably Arpoy may be edging for maybe Laxey for this one, because I think Laxey will make home advantage account. But again, I think this will be a close game too as well. It will. It all depends about how many players will be affected by FCR of Man.
Well, I can tell you that right now, actually, because I've got the squad in front of me. So Tom Crear is not in it, so he'll be available for Laxey. Joe Quayle's in it. So I reckon, looking at it, I don't think either team should be massively affected by it this week.
Right.
So,
I think Ayr might drop their first point of the season in this one, but I think it'll be a draw.
You're going for a draw?
Yeah. Sit on the fence.
We've got Laxey. We've got Dave Satterley. Dave Memorial Fence.
The Andy Davenport Memorial Fence.
I'm just going to just tip there.
You reckon? So I've got the decide and vote. I'm going to say I'm going to join Dave with some splinters. And I'm going to go through proper Manx draw, 4-4.
4-4. I like it.
So I've got, I'll be busy with my YouTube account. Goals come Saturday evening when the goals fly in.
Where did you go at Laxey? Did you go up on the stanchion, up on the ramp there? Or are you on the level next to Johnny and the lads? Or?
No, I go on the concrete terracing on the far side there.
Get away from the swearing next to the dugout.
I like the ramp there. It's a nice spot. Let's take the short trip from Laxey and head north. Ramsey, last week, they obviously were beaten by Ayr, but only just. This week, they've got St John's coming to town.
Now, you've obviously just been looking at the SCL Man squad. Is Charlie Higgins in it?
He is in it.
Right, okay. So that probably tightens the game up a little bit, but I even though St John's won last week, I still think Ramsey will get the points in that one.
So he is in it. However, Jamie Cole isn't. So...
That's
a big plus for Ramsey on the back.
Yeah, definitely.
So I think Ramsey will dust themselves off. I think they'll be back, and I think St John's obviously beat Mills last week, giving loads of confidence because they've come the back of beating them around. They've beat Mills now. That'll give them. They'll be proper feeling good. But Ramsey, I think Ramsey are a really strong side.
Yeah, and the home form.
We've said it. We said it last year.
The probably the best home form on the island.
Well, last year was good.
This year, over two seasons, that home form is impressive.
Do you think the do you think the stand helps? And you know what I love about Ramsey playing there? I don't love anything about Ramsey, but the one thing I do, the music on the warm up feels like you're a professional footballer walking down those stairs and there's loud music on. You know, you're knocking a ball around. There's music. It feels like. All I need is that song. What's the Premier League? You never shut this love. I will never let you go. What's that song?
I know what you mean.
I'm just so
like live football, Sky Sports, like boom, here we go.
Right. By the way, you did say you didn't like it much about Ramsey, but why did you book a staycation there, Tom?
Let's not talk about that. We'll move swiftly on.
Ramsey. Yeah, I think I've got to go for Ramsey, albeit to see St John's win last weekend. I think, as you touched on there before, about the home form is so key, because like last year, I think they only lost at home twice against to the champions, Peel, and also I think Onken, but it's just their away form let them down last year. I think their only time they won away from home was Onken, and they're lucky to have won that match because I was at that game. But this year, I think they've readdressed the away form because they picked up a point against Corinthians, and I work with Liam Cooper and said, none of the lads remember getting any points on their previous trips at Bala Fletcher. That's a big plus, and also away win at Unimills.
Ramsey, to me, they do seem to have a bit of an air of a bit of a team in transition. They're sort of building something there.
Yes, yeah.
I just think, you got them, you got Air. There seems to be something building in the north of the island at the minute about just that. There just seems to be that build-up of quality. I think if they had Charlie in this week, it'd be different. So I still think that home form record. Also, I've just had a look at that as well. Dean Lees is playing for FC Amman this week. So that'd be it. Dave, where do you reckon?
I'm sticking with the Ramsey win for that one.
I think probably complete the set. And I reckon it'd be close. I think Ramsey without Charlie is a different game. But I just think... don't have enough there. I just think last week was a bit of an off week for them. I just don't think they didn't get going against Air.
There's no shame in losing to Air or anything.
You know yourself how hard you see it, Sean Kelly, and hurt you hard. They can make it for you. I think Jamie at the back, he's got a good swell. Also got Ricey in there, who was amazing.
Team of the week.
He made some fantastic saves.
Yeah.
So I think I reckon they'll just have enough there to scrape through it against the Johns.
Yeah.
We shall go. Dave, where do you reckon we should go next? Union Mills or St George's?
We'll go St George's v Corinthians, I think, on this one. Okay. Yeah, I think...
It's a big game, isn't it?
Well, going back around 5-6 years ago, this would have been a huge game.
Yeah. These were the teams, weren't they?
You know, these were teams that, people looked up and said, which were challenging for honours. But I think with St George's now only fielding one team again this year and Corinthians being hit by FC Alfman, but they just... Things about Corinthians, they've got the youth set up. They've always got a chance to reinvent themselves as a team. There's always these quality youngsters coming through the ranks.
Well, they've got Chester Bell, who is probably my favourite player of the season so far.
Right.
I think he's brilliant.
Yeah.
He's really good on the wing there.
Yeah. Well, but just I can feel like I can hear rain outside, so questions I've got to be asked whether this game will be on.
Stop ruining it. We'll get safe reach to the weather later. Yeah.
It's going to be happy reach
to St George's.
We're not going to go down that route. Yeah. We'll have Johnny in one week to ask him about these irrigation issues.
Yes.
What do you reckon? Do you reckon George's got enough firepower to do it? Or
I think I'm going to opt for Corinthians in this one. I think I just might have enough.
I've just had a look at this, actually, just a quick scan again, going up and down of the thing here. Danny Gerrard is in the FC Alman team this week.
Right.
So it'll be interesting.
That's a big loss for Corinthians.
But Ben Wilkinson is still in, which is obviously a big loss for Geordies, because he is, when he plays for Geordies, he's such a big presence.
Absolutely.
Dan Simpson, is he...
Still no Simo.
Oh, right.
I've had a graphic ready for weeks. He's still not there, so I can imagine... Is he back? He must be back from Vegas by now.
I would have thought so.
So he'll be torturing the Geordies back line, I imagine. So you reckon Corinthians?
I'd just go for Corinthians, yeah.
Dave?
Yeah, I think they'll have the edge in this one. I think you mentioned Geordie's firepower. I mean, I know we talked about it last week, but they have got Pekka, who's now past 400 goals, which is ridiculous. Yeah, so on his day, he can score any amount. But yeah, I think Corinthians get the points on this one. Yeah.
Captain Crosby?
Corinthians.
I am going to go for St George's.
Nice.
I just think, do you know what? Weird things can happen.
Are you hoping that Stevie Pitts will give you a free cuppa next time you go there? Is that what
I am, yeah. Stevie, if you're listening, keep the sausage rolls warm, keep the tea flowing. Let's just park ourselves around the corner and pop in to see Brandon versus St Mary's next. Brandon had a bit of a... There's clearly a talent and an ability there, Harry, but they're just... Are they picking up enough points for you?
Well, I picked up 2 points, but both of those results have been teams around them because they beat Douglas Royal at the opening day of the season, and they beat
Geordies
was at six.
Did they not get a point somewhere else, or did they not? Am I imagining that?
I don't know.
How many have they got? They just got 6 points.
Yeah, 6 points.
Oh, sorry.
They beat Royal and they beat St George's. Mm. I just think for them, I think there's a bit of lack of Premier League experience. I mean, I was, when we did our, put our heads above the parapet for this year's 4-5-1, I tipped them to be relegated. And when I walked out of work one day, I bumped into David Kinraid Senior, and he placed a £5 bet saying, how are these teams going to stay up? Because these kids are unbelievable. I didn't see much of Braddon last year, but I was there when they won their final match against Rycott, which guaranteed promotion to the top flight. Against St Mary's, I think following their win from last weekend, you know, that's a great response after losing to Ramsey the week before. I think I've really got to go for a St Mary's win.
So?
I'm going to go for St Mary's win as well, but just touching on Braddon, I've really, really enjoyed...
David Christmas.
It. Like, honestly, that people. This is exactly what the type of thing I'd love to read about Brown, but yes. Reading all the Manx football history and all the people doing stuff like this, saw the Facebook post of where the ground used to be.
It's brilliant.
Stuff I wouldn't know. Honestly, I'd encourage every club to try and delve into their history, because it's so interesting to know about where the clubhouses used to be, what the traditions used to be, like all the old players. I know he's looking for missing names at the minute for pictures and stuff.
Yeah,
I'm sure people will be able to help.
A big shout out to Dave for that, because he's done a cracking job.
And it's worked really well in the paper. I'd love to, if he wants to come and do it at Bamaran, he's very much welcome. That's what I'd say. Yeah.
Speaking of all this, when are you bringing out your next edition of Soccer with Three Legs?
That's a great question.
We do need the update. Yeah.
Okay, well, we'll wait and see. No plans as of yet.
Mm. Yeah. It does need updating, though, doesn't it? Well, it's a brilliant book.
It delves
into the history.
Yeah.
But it'd be great to see some of the current newer honours being presented on it and stuff like that.
Yeah. No plans at the moment. Well, give it a few more years.
We can tease it.
Yeah, I promise you won't mention Tom when you do the edition of
this. Harper & Collins was decades between books, so Harry's got to put it on.
Yeah.
Dave, who do you reckon for this, Brad Mary's?
Well, I think this will be the game I'm going to, hopefully. If it's on. As you said, Brandon have shown a few positive signs recently, but St Mary's, they're looking good. They've got Jack McVay.
I've just had a little peek, and he's in the FCL.
I was going to say, he's been back in the squad the last couple of weeks, but he's back with FCL Man, so that's a big loss. But then again, St Mary's comfortable against Laxey by the sounds of it. So I think the Saints will win.
I think Brandon, I reckon they'll do this.
Well, we don't get a point.
I reckon Brad will do it. I reckon they'll get a win.
Oof.
I think there's enough quality there. I haven't seen Mary's play this year yet, weirdly. I don't know how people
have They beat Laxey last week, though, and then they just tell them they're going to...
But that was the curse of us.
Oh, okay. You're saying it was our fault.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So this week, I'm going to say Brandon are going to win.
How much is Goldsmith Patriots? So?
Yeah, guys.
they're definitely capable of doing it.
Paul Healy has promised me some chips. So. Okay. And I think this is just this is why Andy marks this stuff down, you know.
Do you think it may become a time? Is this a match where these young players come of age? Do you think it could be?
Possibly. Yeah, I think it really could be.
Because I've not seen Braddon at all this season, and I will try and get down to see them over the next few weeks, and I'm interested to see.
Final game in the Canada Life Premier League is Union Mills versus Rushden United. Dave, you've watched both these play, have you? No, you've watched Mills play.
I've seen Mills play twice. I don't think I've seen Rushden yet this season. Mills will be smarter after losing to St Mary's, St John's last week. That's a disappointing result. As Hattie says, they needed points there to keep on the coattails of the top four, I think. They'll be looking to bounce back. But Rushden are a difficult side to judge, really. I mean, as I say, you didn't sound like it was entirely...
It wasn't convincingly. Like I said, it wasn't the Rushden of old, the one that we used to play, seeing at Croke Lowry, like, brush teams away almost. Yeah. So the way I see this game, I can see it easily being a draw. I think it'll be a really close game, and I think it'll be a low-scoring draw is how I'd determine it. But I haven't seen Mills play this season yet. So.
Harry? I think the only time I've seen Rushen was the start of the season when lost 6-1 to Corinthians.
So no one can say you're biased, can they? Because it's your local team, so you're not being just given to Rushen.
Yeah, but I think this is going to be a close call. I may even sit in the proverbial fence, and I'm going for a draw on this one too as well. I know Rushen got the first win of the season last weekend, but I think Una Mills will be looking to bounce back following that defeat to St John's.
I think Harris. Yeah, I was thinking Aaron's always going to get a goal.
Yeah.
But equally, then you got Tyler and you got Luke.
Jordan Crawley, you've got.
Yeah. I reckon I'm going to go for another 3-0 draw.
Nice.
A nice Manx score. So we head now to what Andy terms the best division in Europe, which is the DPS Limited Division 2.
Well done.
I know, I got that spot on. There's a game, let's face it, I mean, every game's big in Div 2, but there is a game of the week.
Yeah,
and it is in the shadow of the airport, underneath the Jet Power Tower, Castletown versus Michael United.
I'm almost surprised that Hattie's not going to this game, because it's the sort of game you would go to.
Yeah, based on current Twitter poll activity, Dean's going
to. It looks like Dean.
Yeah.
So, where do we start? I mean, Tom, what do you reckon? How's it going to shape up?
Good question. Michael, I've mentioned a couple of times on the podcast that the attacking threat Michael holds with Sam Grigsley, Bailey Ashton, a few likes of them. I think Michael going forward are brilliant. Castletown, from what I've heard, they've had a good start to the season as well. They drew 3-3 with Colby last week. Yeah, it seemed like a thrilling game.
Last minute. 3-1
up. 3-1
up. Yeah, yeah, sure. I think
and then apparently a missed penalty from Nathan Cardy. Yeah, skied it.
Yeah, which you read Adam's report here, that was a game changer, wasn't it?
Yeah, maybe turned the Colby's heads on a bit. And it gives you motivation then. But yeah, I'm going to go for a draw here. I think it'll be, again, something like a 3-3 like Castor had last week at time out. But maybe... If I had to edge someone, I'd probably go Castletown.
I think you're right. There's definitely going to be goals in this one. Liam Kane is absolutely bagging them in for fun for Michael. He's probably already got the silver boot wrapped up. From what Adam was saying, Colby were probably the better side second half, but Castletown looked good in that first half last week.
Yeah,
it's going to be close, but I'm going to edge it 5-4 to Michael.
Ooh, right.
Harry?
I might go for Castletown on the basis that I've already seen Castletown play the season where they beat Malou 6-0 and very convincingly at that.
Right, I have to go Castletown because I promised Sam Palmer that I would.
Right.
Because
is that how it works?
He listens to this every week and he says that every week I do Castletown down.
Oh, is he our only listener down south, is he?
I think it's him, yeah.
And me.
There's two of them, yeah. To be fair, I think he listens to part of it at work and part of it at home, so we're getting the listener in Castletown and some. So we're doing all right there. I did promise I would say Castletown would win. Just because I did, I'm going to say Michael are going to... No, they're going to... I reckon Castletown will do this. I think it's just, but I think there's going to be a lot of goals in it. I think you could be looking at a proper, like a 6-4 sort of...
Something ridiculous.
Sort of drumming. Let's have a look around then. The other promotion chasing team that we've tipped repeatedly in recent weeks is Foxdale. They're away at Malou this week.
Yes. Only one winner for me. I think Foxdale.
Well, that's that, Tom. Moving on. Hattie?
Well, it's Foxall, with the signing of Jay Chatwood, that's a game changer.
2-2, Dave.
Yeah, Jay's a massive factor. But Malou, don't forget, they won 5-0 last weekend. They're back on form, so...
They won 5-3.
5-3, sorry. 5-3 it was. But anyway...
They're playing goals, that doesn't count.
Yeah. So they're just scoring...
They've got the Cooper Troopers banging the goals in.
Yeah, so I think it'll be a closer game than people expect. But yeah, Jay Chatwood, he's going to fight them to victory.
Foxdale will find a way.
Yeah.
Park Central
I think Malou, you can never count Malou. They always have this. They do always have a decent team, one way or another.
They'll battle.
They're always going to have a scrappy team. They're always going to dig in. But I do just think Foxdale. They've got they've got Chatwood. They can call on. Even as a start, he couldn't bring him off the bench. It's just such a.
They've got another striker up front, Jason Charma, Vanarama. He's not a bad player. Well,
Jason Charma, Vanarama.
Jason Charma.
Is that to the tune of "Give Me Oil in My Lamp"?
No, it's not actually meant to be. Does it sound like that?
Yeah.
Well, do you know the advert, Vanarama?
Yeah.
It's Jason Charma, Vanarama. It's when
the right, okay, right. Okay. So, anyway, I think I'm going to join you all there and go for Foxdale.
I think that I think now we need to prompt people to send in their best Max football chants.
Yeah, let's go for this, actually. Because, Tom, you do this quite a lot in the office. You bring up, like, you know, some which we can't repeat on air.
Well, the best one at the minute is our comedy striker who got actually came on against for the first team last week from Iran against Russia. His name's Ethan Reddy. And the chant is very simple. Ethan Reddy, come and get it. Na, 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 na. That's just as simple as that.
Right, so if you're in... Ideally, if you're in a pub this weekend, I think Saturday night after the game, right?
Yeah,
if you've got any chance for your team, few Guinnesses, Hank will come along and film you. You can just ask him. Yeah. But if you just get a few points in you and just send us in your songs, ones that ideally we can broadcast.
Yeah, yeah.
And let's
but they don't have to be ones we can broadcast because we'll listen to them.
Oh, no, we'll listen to them.
Yeah, we can't put some of them out. A lot of them are minor, you can't broadcast.
No, definitely
yeah,
not.
So. Yeah, there's various different legal reasons why we can't broadcast yours.
Keeping
down in there, Div 2 there, though. Obviously, Malou last week, they did beat Governors, who are making a trip to Onk. And now, one time, this was a derby.
We
were playing up at the Birmingham.
Yeah.
But obviously, Governors' smile team, they moved down south. I hate to say it, I just can't see Onk. I can't see beyond Onk.
I agree. Yeah. Yeah, I think Onk will be too strong.
Sorry, Governors boys, but Onk win.
I just can't see. The Niverson is just... Fortress Niverson this year, I think.
Yeah, I'm going with Onk win too as well.
However, as always, I hope Govs stuff them. Right, sticking with DPS Division 2, let's go to D&D versus Rykob. Now, we've got D&D, the sort of top trumps of the division.
Boom, I like what you did there.
Yeah. What do you reckon, Dave? Where's it going?
Youthy had a good win last week. They beat Pulley 5-1. They'd be in confident mood. Jamie Brew is a good player, he's banging the goals in at the moment. So it might be just a bit too much for D&D, but home advantage, never know. I think, Dave Matson
Do you believe in home advantage in men's football?
I think to some extent, yes. You know, it's people get more of a feel for the pitch and what they're used to and the surroundings too, as well. And some places where, like I come from in Russia, you do have a bit of that partisan support, you know, some of the country clubs, you do have that. So, some cases, yes, but I wouldn't say it's a nailed-on fact. You know, nailed-on certainty. It does have its what's the way to describe it? It does have its advantages, but I wouldn't say it's a nailed-on advantage. Mm.
Fair enough. I think that's pretty fair enough.
Yeah, that's
a really good
point.
Yeah.
So, who are you going for?
Okay,
well,
we're almost shocked that a good point
has been
made on the podcast.
I know. Yeah. This is not a place for this. This is a table for the day.
Well, believe it or not, I work with Will Gavin, okay?
Yeah.
Mm. And I think Dean Duxton District, the only team in the Manx football in the top two leagues not to register win this year.
Oh, that's
not a nice stat. So far. And he.
He's
told me, right, first of all, this year they're probably going to get they have all the best players available, I think, barring one, but also two as well. I think he's not in charge this weekend, and Doss has taken temporarily the helms this weekend. So it would be probably Will's luck that when he's not in charge of the team, that D&D registered the first win of the season. So just to keep Will happy, I'll go, and Dave Matheson too as well.
Have a listener.
D&D win. Yeah. Home advantage. Yes.
Having once worked for Dosser, I'm going to back her and follow it. Yeah, go on. D&D win.
Yeah. I think it's going to be a draw then after that.
Yeah. I'm going to give Rykob some credit. I think a big win last week against Pulley, and I did offend them at the start of the season by saying their pitch is awful, so let's give them back some credit.
We have just the one game left then, which is Pullrose versus Jims. Now, this is a difficult one to call because I think Dave reads the weather, we'll find out why this is a difficult one to call. But also, the two teams who are just in different form constantly. Like, you never seem to know what they're going to turn up with.
Yeah.
Jims are one of the teams that didn't play last week either. And it never helps, I don't think. Pulley on the receiving end of a heavy defeat to Youthy. So, again, this is going to be a bit of a scrap, I would have thought. Pulley have shown a few signs of life, though. I think... I think they're sort of coming to a little bit now.
Lost to Foxdale 4-3.
They were
3-2 up at one point as well, so they gave them a good go. So
I think it's going to be close. I think it's going to be Pulley win. I think they'll sneak it.
I'm going to go the same, Pulley win.
I'll go for a Jim's win.
Ooh. Just to upset Maz, I think I'll go for a pulley win.
Right, yeah.
Is it nice that we haven't got Adam on, so there's no hatred towards Jim's?
It does feel like hate-free this week, doesn't it?
It does.
Besides the hatred I'm going to feel towards all of you when I have to edit this later.
Yeah, but Hattie brings out the best in everyone. Yes,
he does.
That positive vibes.
You cut that, make that meme.
Yeah. That's going to be the trail this week. Positive vibes. we just want to turn to what's going on this Sunday, is the Floodlit Cup gets underway. Yeah. In the women's football, we've got Douglas Hall versus Malou and Crimbs versus Onken. Now, you have spent probably more time covering women's football than anybody else on the island.
Yeah.
How do you think this is going to shape up this year?
Okay, well, I think Peel are looking like very strong because they beat Corinthians in the league. And I think Corinthians have lost one or two players. So I think Peel, they've probably got more strength and depth this year. The Women's Football League is decided on head-to-head rather than goal difference.
Mm-hmm.
So Peel have already played their match at home and beat them 2-0. So the reverse will be very, very interesting. The two matches I just mentioned there too as well, Corinthians versus Onken. I saw Corinthians, I saw both of these matches in the league at the start of the season because they both were playing beside each other at Battle of Fletcher. So I think Corinthians won Onken quite convincingly. So I'm going to go for Corinthians win, albeit I think the Onken goalkeeper that day was a Caitlin Beattie. She played and she was absolutely superb between the sticks. She pulled off a number of great saves. And Royal versus Malou, I think I'm going to go for Royal, albeit I think Malou did, I think they lost, was it 5-4-2 or something like that? They did find the net twice. I'm going for a Battle of Fletcher win there for both teams.
Just talking about women's football, it would be remiss if we didn't mention the Ireland Games this summer. Obviously, you followed the women's team all the way through to the bronze medal, didn't you? And did you enjoy it? Was it good to see the girls do well?
It was absolutely fantastic, brilliant. And I think what we're seeing is just an influx of younger players into the squad, accompanied with the seasoned players like Elna Gorn, who got her 50th cap against Bermuda, first women's footballer to do it, the first footballer to be a flag bearer at the Ireland Games. But I think it's the introduction of younger players under Wayne Leasey's stewardship has really galvanised the squad, and it was just, there's a great atmosphere amongst the women's squad. It's probably, I've got to say, the best in terms of team camaraderie I've seen of all the Ireland Games I've been to regarding women's
squad. Excellent stuff. Good. Well, we've got, 2-year countdown to the next Ireland Games, so hopefully
we'll build that,
and we'll see, obviously, hopefully, the growth of women's football going forward. I think it's one that everyone wants to see happen. Whether it pulls out, speaking of things that everyone wants to see happen, where should we start, Dave? Should we go and start with the majesty that is Combi Corner?
Right, well, it's a bit of a short one this week because we did have a few postponements. But St Mary's have opened up a 4-point lead at the top of Canada Life Combination 1. They defeated Laxey 4-0 at Glen Road. This is while nearest challengers Ayr United's game against Northern Neighbours Ramsey was postponed. Union Mills lost ground on the top two after they were beaten 3-2 at home by St John's at Gary Moore. And the only other game in Combi 1 saw Peel record a 2-0 win over Douglas Royal at Battle of Fletcher. So the other two postponed games were Braddon Corinthians and Moran Rushen, which obviously you would have won, Tom.
Yeah,
so,
of course.
In DPS Combination 2, Old Boys were in rampant form as they thrashed Jim's 7-1 at Blackberry Lane. And again, there were only three games took place in this division. Michael B. Onken and Malou versus Governors were also postponed. In the Southern Derby at the stadium, Castletown were 5-2 winners over Colby, which is why Adam's not here today. And Douglas and District claimed a Desmond 2-2 at home to Foxdale.
The best bit of the podcast. That's what we all come here for.
Now,
everyone's favourite bit, I think.
I don't think so. There's a typo on the next bit. It says Hattie reads the weather.
Oh,
okay. Does it?
Well, let's give him a go.
Oh, go on, Hattie. Then.
Thanks, Dave. Okay, we'll have to get another graphic. So it's time for Hattie reads the weather.
Okay, Friday's mostly cloudy with outbreaks of rain, possibly heavy at times. Saturday's cloudy and dull with spells of rain, which may be heavy at times. Both days will see some strong winds in places too, so it may not be too nice for football.
What a debut.
You've got the job, mate.
Yes.
You've got the
job. We might have to bring him back every week.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to have to make graphics every week. So let's keep it up. Have a quick check-in with the Ravens. Obviously, they had 3-2 win at home last week. Fair goals from Sean Doyle, who seems to be finding a bit of form after... He's had a bit of indifferent after that injury that he received about 18 months ago now, 15 months ago now. Yeah, yeah. I think he's just sort of... He seems to get back into his stride again, and he just looks that bit sharper this season than he did last year. And Tiernan Garvey also got a goal. Really good performance from Dean Pinnington, who got big hand in them games as well. This weekend, the lads are away at Withenshaw.
Yeah.
Now, the Ravens, they actually won the game, the bowl, 1-0 on this one. Withenshaw could have gone top of the league that night.
Was this the Jack McVay penalty, was it?
This was the Jack McVay penalty, where Matty Shaw became the most popular match of the Wild Men for several hours after he flagged for a... Correctly, by the way, flagged for a Withenshaw side. So yeah, but Jonesy has had to shuffle the squad around a bit this week, as we've seen with some names we mentioned, like Jack McVay coming back into it. Obviously, you've got Jacob Crooks in as usual with Ryan Burns, Fio Davies, Sean Doyle, Tiernan Garvey, Danny Gerrard, again coming out of the Corinthians team, Charlie Higgins, Frank Jones, Dean Lees, Alex Maitland, Jack McVay, Dean Pinnington, Joe Quayle, Carl Sherry, Carl Watson, and Ben Wilkinson. And Tom, I know you're delighted to hear that entire list
in
full. So that game is, I think it's 3 o'clock kick-off this weekend against Withenshaw.
At home or where?
No, it's away.
Oh, okay.
So the Ravens have played, like, I think it's 5 home games, like 12 or 13 away games now.
Yeah, we were looking at this the other day. Is it the end of November they start a ridiculous home run, don't they?
Yeah.
They do, yeah. It's, I think the last weekend of November through to 23rd of December, they've got 6 home games in a row.
Which is good.
Yeah, which is, it's absolutely good, because it means that I've got something to do on Saturday nights.
Jacob Crook, man the match?
Oh, I think he's been the man of the season. I think I get Dean Pinnington's brought in a bit of the quality going forward, a little bit of freshness, but I just think I really like what Jacob's... I think he's brilliant player.
He's a class player.
He's a bit like Andy Robertson. He's a bit just tenacious, just keeps going.
He's always been quality. I remember playing him at school, QE2 versus Castle Rush, and he was a nightmare to play against. An absolute nightmare. And he used to play centre mid. I don't know if he's playing for left
back, left wing back.
He was one of those you could put anywhere and he'd do a job there.
I mean, he should have scored on Saturday. He hit the bar, I think it was one. It was really unlucky not to score. Yeah. So it's just, I think he's been quality this season. And may continue. Bit of any other business. Now, I just want to sort of jump into this quickly because it's something that we need to sort of still clear up exactly what's happening with this, but it does appear. What we do know for certain is that Manx boxer Matty Rennie, who did play footy on the island as well, is going to be fighting in Bolton on the 1st of December, live on Channel 5.
Where is it at?
Well, this is the thing, you see, Dave, because it is at the greatest named stadium in England. It's at the... Are you prepared for this, Harry?
Go on.
Tough Sheet.
What?
Tough Sheet.
He's not swearing at you, don't worry.
That is the name for the Reebok Stadium these days.
Oh, right.
Bolton's Reebok Stadium is the Tough Sheet Stadium. Right. What we're not 100% certain is that who on their right mind would want to be outside in December in Bolton. But
So do we think it's...
We think it could be in the arena next door, but it does appear to be in the stadium. Mm-hmm. Either way, it's fantastic to see Matty on Channel 5. Be boxing. I saw his fight in Liverpool the other week where he won in a couple of minutes. Mm-hmm. This is up against a guy, unbeaten fighter again. It's just fantastic to see somebody go off the island. And it's a sport that, you know, I don't think historically we have had a great sort of professional lead in, but we've now got Matty, we've got Jamie as well, we've had Danny Roberts. It is sort of a building scene on the island.
Well, Jade Burden.
Jade the Grenader, she's now known, apparently, she's changed her name. But yeah, also, I think on Matty's on the undercard for what it looks like a WBO title fight. I think there is actually a title on the line.
Yeah, he's on the undercard for the... it is quite a big fight, so this is where it could be in the... I'm going to say the Reebok, because I'm not saying Tough. It could be in the Reebok, which is just bringing back JJ Okocha vibes.
I was the first ever game to be played at the Reebok Stadium, because it was a 0-0 on a Monday night.
This is back under the big Sam Aladici days, was this?
What I do remember, it's a bit quite sad, because the day before Princess Diana had died in that car crash, we all had to have a minute silence beforehand, before kickoff. And finish 0-0.
That's a really bizarre way to be able to age a stadium.
Yes, it is.
This stadium opened the day after Princess Diana.
Yeah, we played the first ever match. Yeah. I went to the previous game, the previous ground, which was at the Brendan Park, where you couldn't see the far corner flag because there's a supermarket built on the on part of the terracing. Honestly.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Speaking of which, have Everton confirmed they're going to name one of the stands after you at the Bramley Dock yet?
Nothing's been confirmed as of yet.
If they don't do it, one club over here has to do it. There's got to be a Paul Hatton stand somewhere.
Okay. Russian United, maybe his local club.
There you go, yeah. Maybe.
Although Ramsey, I saw, did get you a nice little cup at their end of season due.
They gave him a nice little glass tankard saying thank you for the services to Manx football. That's a very kind.
A bit nicer than the Everton mug that we
have. Yeah, exactly. So. But it's not just Ramsey, I'm sure, who are thankful for your hat. We have to say that the whole of Manx football, I think I speak on behalf of everyone to say,
massively,
you're doing a great job and keep it up and more Moran games, please.
Thank you for the kind compliment.
You did catch our game and Hugo's first goal and he steps up.
Yes.
Yeah, that was must be a great moment for him, because in comedy football, you probably don't expect to get your first goal for a football team to be on video. So that man can watch it. I think there was something like 200 views, and I reckon they were all Hugo sat there in his bed that night. Excited to hear.
It was a game of two halves that night, because I thought the wind was a bit of a level in that factor too.
You took some unflattering pictures of me as well, which I wasn't a massive fan of. We won't insert these now. Don't even think about going there. We will not insert them.
Well, if you want to see unflattering pictures of Tom, make sure to follow Hattie on Twitter, on Facebook, on YouTube.
X.
Prof Hattie.
Yeah. X.
Whatever.
Yeah. Manx Footy Pod is also, of course, on Facebook, Twitter, X, YouTube,
TikTok,
MySpace,
Instagram,
Bebo, everywhere.
MSN Messenger, why not? Yeah, just throw it out there.
Yeah. Giving you a nudge and a half there, Dave. And Tom, anything else?
No, that's all from me.
Well, with that, that's all from all of us.
Quick note, sorry to interrupt, from the FA this week.
Oh, we have something.
Yes, we do. I'm sorry if I can't pronounce the surname right, but Lewis Mornes, he's been named, he's joined the FA board as a non-executive director. So that's just come out of the FA this week. So looks like he's going to monitor the corporate governance function and implementation of policies within the association. So there you go.
Well, thank God we chucked that in, because that's information that everyone was just
doing. Despite Tom's cynicism, it's again, we do need to get down to the FA and speak to these guys about everything's going on. But for now,
ta-ta for now.